All right, Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 1. The Bible says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Look at verse 9, and then we'll pray. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And so verse 1 and verse 9 really tie in very well together. And so let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your word. We need you to speak to us tonight and challenge us through your word. Lord, we believe we've come to the most important part of our service, and that's where we open up our hearts and minds to let you speak to us. So would you do that tonight? Give us the alertness that we need, and Lord, just to see what is here in your Bible and what it means for each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. As you can imagine, Sundays are a bit of a busy day for those in the ministry, and I've talked about this before and joked about it, but, you know, Sunday night when I go home, I'm usually pretty much done, and my wife has to sometimes remind me what my name is, and my brain is shot for the day, and I'm pretty exhausted. And really, I'm not in much of a mood to have any type of conversations. I just don't want to do much of anything. Just sit down on my recliner and maybe have something to eat, a little snack, and just not think. But almost every Sunday night, I'm not going to say everyone, but almost every Sunday night, between the time I get home and the time I go to sleep, my wife will say to me, I need to know your plans for this week. Oh, I have to know your plans. Well, why do you need to know my plans tonight? Well, because I'm going to the grocery store tomorrow. We're routine people. Every Monday she goes to the grocery store. So she wants to know my plans, to know what evenings I'm going to be home and what meal she needs to prepare, and so that she can set out a plan for the week. So I'm barely getting done with Sunday, and now I have to stop and I have to set a plan for the whole next week. Have you ever stopped and realized how much of our life is spent planning? Planning for the week. My wife is planning for meals. We plan for the weekend. What's your plans for tonight? Hey, do you have plans for tomorrow? At work, we have plans. I was thinking about this just in the last week, some of the plans that we've had to discuss as a staff, plans for the ladies meeting we had last week, plans for the transition as the Hendricks leave, and plans for their trip to England, plans for the people that are going to fill and the gaps and the holes left behind with their trip to England, plans for the Masons, plans for their moves, plans for their office, plans for candy bags, plans in case the weather gets bad, plans for services, plans for missions revivals, plans for missions offerings. I'm just giving you a small glimpse of the many plans that we have to make, and it's no different in your life. Life is a big series of plans. Keith will graduate soon, sooner than his mom or I would want him to graduate, but there's no stopping the clock. It's going to happen. He's going to graduate. And most people are aware of that. And so I don't know how often this happens outside of my presence. I'm sure a bunch. But just in my presence when I'm with him, I cannot tell you the hundreds of people that have asked him, so Keith, what's your plans? Where are you going? What are you going to do? You're about to graduate. I mean, who are you going to marry? Where are you going to live? How big of your house are you going to get? You going to have pets? What kind of pets are you going to get? I mean, they want to know everything. And Keith, I've seen the look on his face, a little bit of frustration. He's like, hey,
I'm just trying to help get my basketball team to the playoffs and graduate algebra. I'll consider all that when it's over.
We don't always have the answers. Last week, I had a family, the Valdez family, Jamie and Gilbert Valdez, came to my office, I believe it was a week ago Monday, and they sat down, and I could just tell, I've done this long enough, I could tell the way they said it when they said, "Preacher, do you think you could meet with us?" I immediately knew what was going on, and I said to them, "Yeah, absolutely, I would love to, as long as it doesn't mean I have anything to do with a move." "Well, preacher..." And so they came into my office and they sat down and they began to tell me about this major life decision they were making and a major move that was coming up in their life. And they began to talk about how they were confident that this is what God wanted. And Miss Jamie, she said, "And preacher, I've prayed about this and I'm 100% confident this is what God wants." We're not making the wrong decision, are we? In each of these situations, and many others, I want to help guide people in making the best decisions in their life. Just tonight, because it's really where we're at in life. You know, we had just 30 minutes in my office prior to service, and Keith and I were sitting in there, and the future came up. Plans came up. And I believe he has the ability to make the right decision on his own, but God's given him a dad to help steer and guide and direct him in the decisions in the future. And I want to make certain that the advice I give is the right advice. It does factor into the future of his life and the decisions he makes. And so I care about him. Cared about the Valdez. I care about every church member I would give advice to. I love them. But here's the reality. As much as I love them, as much as I love my son, God loves and cares for them far more than I do. And God has plans and He has purposes for all of our lives. And the very best advice that I can give anybody, the very best advice that I can give to my son, the very best advice that I can give to the Valdez family, the very best advice I could give to any of you as you came and said, "Pastor, what should we do? How should we do this?" The very best advice I could give you would be this. Simply submit your plans to the Lord. Submit your plans to the Lord. This section of Proverbs tells us that God knows people. He knows the plans that we make. He knows how we work. He knows how we think. And sometimes through us, sometimes in spite of us, God has a way of accomplishing His plans in our lives. And so the very best thing that we can do is submit our plans over to the Lord and just say, "Here they are, Lord. You guide, you direct, you show, you make this clear." And so I want to give you out of this text tonight just four simple reasons that you should submit your plans to the Lord. Number one, in verse 1 and 9, we need to submit our plans to the Lord because the Bible teaches us that He gets the final say. He gets the final say. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue, it's of the Lord. In verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. See, we all tend to make our own plans. We like to think we're capable. Well, I see the big picture. I see everything. And it's just natural that in our minds that we begin to think and plan and chart a course for our lives. That is the word here translated preparations, the preparations. It means it is an arrangement or it is plans. And so the plans of the heart in man, it pertain to the heart of man. That's what this verse is talking about. And so in man's heart, their tendency, if you would, is to generate plans for life. This is what I'm going to do. This is the decision I'm going to make. And often they're little plans, a series of little plans. Sometimes they're great big plans, but we're trying to figure out what's the right path to take. And in our heart, it's only natural that we generate and say, "This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is the direction I want to go. This is the path that I think is best." And it's only natural that we would do that.
But in doing that and generating our own plans, we have to stop and say, wait a second, this is my plan. Does it mesh up? Does it connect? Does it go along with and connect to God's plans? Because ultimately, God gets the final say. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 16. See, not all of our plans are always wicked. Not every plan that we have is the wrong plan, or we would say, well, that's just an ungodly, or that's a wicked plan. I don't think that the people in this auditorium tonight, you're godly people. I don't think that you get up any given day of your life and think, you know what, I just want to make some plans that are going to ruin and wreck my life. I want to make some plans that are going to ruin and wreck the life of my kids. Here's what I want my son to do, because I know this will set him on a course where it's just going to destroy his life. No, that's not our mindset. So in our hearts, we generate these plans and we think to ourselves, this is good. God certainly is going to be pleased with this. If Keith goes to this Bible college or this Bible college or this Bible college, I mean, he's going to Bible college. This is good. How could God ever argue with that? And it is true. God would certainly want a young man called to the ministry to go to Bible college. But wait a second. I better stop and let God have the final say on just exactly which Bible college. See, I can generate all sorts of plans and think, well, this one for this reason or this reason or this reason or this reason. But I don't see the full picture that God sees. Okay, I want you to see this in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6. The story is telling about a time when Paul's ministry, and Paul is headed to Asia. He has this plan. I'm going to go to Asia. I have a heart's desire to go over to Asia, and I want to preach the gospel over there. I want to take the gospel to this region. I've not been to that region yet, and I want to go over there, and I want to take the gospel. And he had a heart to reach souls. I'm telling you, it was a good plan, and it was commendable, but it was one that was generated by Paul. So in verse 6, look at this. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, wait a second. He's headed straight to Asia, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is saying, no, I'm not going to let you go in that direction. And after that, they were come to Messiah and essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so he makes one set of plans, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go. And he says, okay, then I'll go in this direction. And he heads off in that direction, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go. Understand again, he's in the middle of doing the work of God. He has a desire to do the work of God. He has a desire to go to these places, not so he can visit all the amusement parks and see all the sights and all the national parks. No, he's going there because he wants to reach people for Jesus Christ. And as they passing through Messiah, they came down to Troas. And it was there in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, Paul had good plans. No one would have argued and said, Paul, I think what you're doing is wrong. But God gets the final say. And God says, no, yes, there's people in Asia that need to know Christ. And yes, there's people over here that need to know Christ. But your greatest work and my desire for you is to go over to Macedonia, because you're going to be able to do something there. And I'm going to do something with you there that you may not fully understand ever and throughout all of eternity. But I understand, and I have a purpose for you to be there. And so God gets the final say. The second part of this verse just states that regardless of our heart's desire, regardless of our plans, we've got to submit ourselves to the Lord, because the answer to the many decisions of life should always come from the Lord. I think of, and he'll be here, I believe, next year for the, no, I don't think he is going to be, but he's supposed to come through at one time, Michael Lassiter. And he's over at Arden Road, and I mean, he was set. Tasmania, is that where it was? I mean, dead set to go to Tasmania as a missionary. I mean, they had printed prayer cards. I mean, everything is ready to go. Kind of where we're at with with Colin and Callie. I mean, it's like everything is paved and this is where they're going. The plan was out there. And then all of a sudden, God got the final say. And he applied, I believe, for a visa and they were denied. And now it's going to be 6 years before they can reapply. And God just completely changed the entire course of their life. And so now, after a trip down to the El Paso area, he's going to go down there and plant a church. See, God gets the final say. And that's why we have to submit our plans to the Lord, because God knows what's best. But I want you to see in verse 2, submit your plans to the Lord. Secondly, because we can't trust ourselves. All the ways of man, well, are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. It's often difficult for people to see the errors of their way. Matthew Henry said about this text, "We are all apt to be partial in judging ourselves." Isn't that true? Nobody likes to give me the benefit of the doubt as much as I like to give me the benefit of the doubt. Nobody wants to judge me quite as easy as I want to judge me. It's human tendency to believe we are innocent in our behavior and pure in our motives. But we must be careful in trusting ourselves and our own devices, because the nature of our heart is wicked at its core. This world would say to us, hey, you just need to let your conscience be your guide. Just trust your heart. Go with your heart. Just go where you feel like is the right thing. That's what the world tells us. But God alone fully knows our hearts. Our hearts unmonitored by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they are a poor guide and they will steer us in the wrong direction. We've already seen it in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in Him. When Brother Colin first shared with me the call of God in their life, and I began to immediately, as I suppose any pastor or boss would, begin to think about the holes that would be left behind and the fact that youth pastor, music, and we're going to have to fill this gap. And I begin to look at people out there. I begin to get names given to me about people out there. And many of you might even remember, I believe it was over the Christmas break, right after Christmas, we had a young man from Heartland that came. He sang, beautiful voice. I'm just telling you, in my mind, he checked every box. He could do this, he could do this, he could do this. And he was bilingual, which I really, really like that, and ministering and in our community and even in our church and starting ministries within our church. And I'm telling you, my mind was just like fully persuaded, hey, this would be a good direction to go. But the whole time he was here, I told the staff, it was like just nothing. Zero peace. And I kept throughout the weekend trying to convince the Lord of all the young man's qualities. And I kept reminding God of, well, you understand, he can start a Spanish-speaking ministry, and he's young, and he plays the piano, and he sings. And I'm just telling you, God, he'd do a great job in music. And the Lord just kept saying, no, no, no. About 2 months before that, Brother Denson had called me just out of nowhere. And he said, hey, have you figured out what you're going to do when Colin leaves? I said, no. He said, I want to give you a name. He said, now, he's an older guy, but I'm just telling you, he has a heart of gold, and he's a wonderful man, and he told me about him. And I said, appreciate it, Brother Denson. And I hung up the phone, and I thought, just not what we're looking for. Not what we're looking for. You got to replace Colin. We need high energy or something, you know. That whole weekend, the entire time I was praying about this young man, every time I got on my knees and I prayed, it was like God was saying no, and he was saying, call the Masons. Lord, I don't want to call the Masons. That's not what we're looking for. That's not in my plan. I don't want to call the Masons. Call the Masons. To the point when that weekend was over, I believe it was Brother David, maybe there's some others in his office, I went in there and I said, I will not be doing right by God if I don't at least pick up the phone and call Brother Gerald Mason and talk to him. And as I did, God just began to give perfect peace. See, I can't trust myself. I have a lot of devices, a lot of thoughts, a lot of things in my own heart and mind that would say this is the way to go. But the Lord weigheth the Spirit. The Lord sees things and He knows things and He understands things that I don't understand. And so I've got to submit my plans to Him and say, God, that's not exactly the direction I was planning on going. But I can't trust myself. But one thing's for certain, I can trust You. I can certainly trust Him. So then look at verse 3. Submit your plans to the Lord. Because here's a beautiful thing. You'll have peace when you do so. Submit your plans to the Lord because you'll have peace when you do so. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The idea in this verse is that we are to cast the whole of who we are into the Lord. Now, what it's talking about is total commitment. To commit means to roll, or it's used to the idea in the Bible of rolling a stone. And so you picture a massive boulder and you get some leverage and you're going to roll it over. It's literally just putting it over on God. Rolling everything over upon Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It's the same idea and the same thought. And so, actually, if you look at the Proverbs we read, this is the only command in this set of Proverbs. But God is commanding us. He's not just saying, hey, here's something you need to consider. No, in verse 3, He's saying, here's a command. Commit your works unto the Lord. God wants to work His gracious, sovereign purpose out in our lives. But we have to trust God. We have to roll everything upon Him. As difficult as it might be to give up control of our lives and completely turn everything over to the Lord, when we do and give Him our thoughts and our plans and our purpose, everything the Bible says will be established. Established, it means settled, firmly grounded, steady. To many of us, we strive for self-control or for control of our everyday lives. We want to hold on and we want to be in control of everything. And when anything outside of our control comes along, we tend to panic. Thus, God exhorts us. Just give it all over to Me. Every facet of your lives. Because if you do, I'll work out the plans for you. When I trust my own plans, I'm always worried how they will turn out. When I trust in God's plan, I can have perfect peace because His plans never, ever fail. You say, preacher, I want assurance that hiring the Masons, that it's going to work out. Well, I'll give you the assurance. God's will. Committed it over to Him. I'm super excited. Why? Because God did this. I didn't do this. No one else did this. God did this. It's going to work out. Matthew Henry, we shall be at ease because whatever pleases God pleases us. When we submit our plans to the Lord, we will be at ease because whatever pleases God pleases us. Bridges said it this way, be satisfied with His management of our concerns. And then I want you to see one more thing and we're done. Submit your plans to the Lord because He can take care of that which is beyond our control. Because He can take care of that which is beyond our control. Look at verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. The truth of this proverb is both amazing and is perplexing. Here's what it's telling us, that God has a purpose for everything He has created. And He has created everything for His purpose. That is for Himself. And so acknowledging that God is sovereign means that we accept that everything He does is a part of His master's plan. It does not mean that everything He allows pleases Him, but that He can use everything to accomplish His purposes and His will. He uses everything. He uses both good and He uses bad for His purposes. He deals fair with people. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is the story of Samson. And if you study out Samson, in that portion of Scripture in the book of Judges, here's what you're going to conclude, is that his entire life was summarized by the riddle in which he gave. The riddle of Samson's life that he gave was this. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He's referring to the time when a lion came against him to destroy him, and he was able to kill the lion. He later returned to the lion, and God fed him out of the lion. So the thought here is the very things that the devil intends to destroy you, the very things that the devil intends to destroy me, God has a way of being victorious over those things, and not only being victorious over those things, but feeding us out of those things. There are people in this room, and I'll just go out on a limb. There are people in this room who at one time or another have had major, serious marital problems. You didn't know if your marriage was going to survive the marital problems. But yet God took those marital problems, and your marriage is stronger and better today than it's ever been because of the lessons and the things God taught you through those marital problems. There are people that have been through church splits. There are people that have went through some of the most horrible tragedies. But if you are honest, you can look back and you see how God takes those tragedies, how God takes those trials, how God has taken those struggles and those hard times to make you into the person you are today. I think of a teenager growing up in our youth department, coming in on our bus route, who grows up in the most horrible family situation. And I'm telling you, everything about their home life screams, somebody just come and rescue me and get me out of this house. They see more and witness more and go through more in their young life than most of us will ever go through in our full life. But yet, sometimes it's those very kids that God's able to use in the greatest way, because they can go and minister to other kids in that situation. And they look back, and while they're not necessarily thankful for with all of that they went through, they can be thankful for the way that God used it. That's the purpose here. We submit our way to the Lord because He's made all things for Himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. We might think, why would God want me? I can get my plans over to Him, but I have no value. God doesn't need me. God could never do anything with me. I'm telling you, this verse tells us otherwise. God made you for Himself. He made you to accomplish His purposes. And if He can use the wicked to accomplish His purposes, He can use you. And so here's the whole conclusion tonight. I just want to ask you, what are your plans? What are the plans you're in the process of making? We're all in different stages of life. We all have different things that come up in different times when plans change. You might be here tonight and be like Keith, have a major decision squaring you, or looking you square in the eyes that you're going to have to make. No, you're going to have to make it, son. There's no way to get around it. Maybe not tonight, maybe not next week, but a decision's going to have to be made. Might be somebody like Colin or Callie. You're looking at plans that are going to alter the entire course of your life. Maybe it's plans that has to do with the job situation. Plans on how to handle a family problem. It might be big plans. It might be a series of smaller plans. But what this text is telling us is it's just in your very best interest if you'll take the plans of life and you'll just submit them over to the Lord. Because He can take care of them and do more with you and through those plans than you could ever imagine. He'll never, ever, ever steer you wrong. I'm convinced of this. It's all going to turn out for Colin and Callie. You know why? Lord's in it. If Keith follows God, it doesn't matter where he ends up at college. If he follows and goes where God wants, it's all going to turn out okay. Mason's real confident. Why? Because we're just trusting God. We're leaning on Him. What He wants. So let's do the same tonight in all of our lives. Let's just submit our plans to the Lord.